Mike DeGubin, hello friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And these words of the Lord Jesus were referring to the spiritual part of man, the spiritual hunger that man has, the spiritual thirst for the truth. Jesus said, I'm the one who can satisfy that hunger. I'm the one who can satisfy that thirst. Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the way to salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and peace with the eternal God. And it's the greatest thing in all the world to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and to receive His salvation, His forgiveness, and His wonderful, wonderful eternal life. Well, we're glad that you've turned your radio dial to join us, and I'd invite you to get your Bible and turn with us to the book of Genesis today. The first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings, it's called, and we're in chapter 3, and that's where our study is taking place as we're talking about and considering the seed of the woman. This remarkable statement that Almighty God made, because it's well known in the physiological makeup of man that man contains the seed, the woman contains the egg. The seed has to be implanted into the egg in order for a child to be born. And no woman has her own seed. A man has to implant that seed into the egg. And so this is why this is such a remarkable statement. It's completely contrary to the natural way of things. This, that Jesus was looking forward to, or Almighty God was considering and thinking about, had reference to a miracle. It was a miracle that God was talking to Adam and Eve and to the serpent about here. Now, we've been discussing and reviewing their disobedience to God and how these things came about. For those of you who are new to the broadcast, haven't heard before, you're welcome to read the first few verses of chapter 3 of Genesis, and that will explain to you where we are in our study concerning the seed of the woman. Now, in our last review, we saw that Adam and Eve had disobeyed God. They had yielded to temptation. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life was the method that Satan used to bring them into sin and rebellion against God. And Satan has not changed his technique. He uses the same temptations today to lead people into sin. And then we come to the results of sin. Eve gave to her husband and made him a partner in with her sin. And Adam was there with Eve, and yet he did not stop her. Adam could have stopped Eve from partaking of that forbidden fruit and disobeying Almighty God. But Adam did not stop her. Instead, he took of the fruit also and did eat. And so we read that Adam was not deceived. Adam knew full well that he was doing wrong. Again, 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. 1 Timothy 2:14 is in the New Testament for those of you who have a New Testament. Also, we read in the book of Romans in the New Testament, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12a states, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. By one man, sin entered into the world. So it was Adam that was to blame for sin coming into the world, not Eve. She was deceived. She was completely fooled and did not realize that she was doing wrong. But Adam knew full well that he was disobeying God and doing that which is wrong. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, Another reference in the New Testament states, "For as in Adam all die." Yes, in Adam all die. And let me explain how this came about. Spiritually speaking, all died in their relationship with God, but also all die physically as a result. And how can this be? Well, suppose your grandfather died when he was 3 days old. Where would your father be? And where would you be? If your grandfather had died when he was 3 days old, he would not have had any children. Your father would not have been born, and you would not have been born. And so, you see, you would have died in your grandfather. And that's what this passage of Scripture means when it says, "For in Adam all die." In Adam, the whole human race was separated from God. Every individual that would be born by Adam and Eve would be separated from God, because Adam and Eve disobeyed God and thus were driven out of the Garden of Eden, where they had fellowship with God, and thus they were separated from God. And spiritually speaking, they died in their fellowship with God. They were separated from God, spiritually speaking. They didn't die physically that time. They did die physically many years later. But the death referred to here was spiritual death, and then eventually came physical death. The next thing we noticed is that their eyes were opened. Verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened." This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. The eyes of them both were opened. And that means their understanding of right and wrong was opened. That's what it literally means. They literally began to understand right and wrong. Up until this time, Adam and Eve were in a state of innocence, and thus they lost their innocence. They realized that they were naked. Now, all this time, apparently, they had been naked, and it had not bothered them. They had not even paid any attention to it. They had not even thought anything about it. But now, they know right and wrong, and immediately, when they see their nakedness, they're ashamed of what they are not clothed. They're ashamed of their nakedness. And so, what do? They try to cover their nakedness. And man's been trying to cover up his sin ever since. Man's been trying to do this ever since the Garden of Eden. So, they also experience fear. They're afraid when they hear God coming in the garden. So, what do? They're ashamed. They make fig leaves to try to cover up their nakedness. And then when God comes walking in the garden, they hide. Notice verse 7, "The eyes of them both were opened. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons." And verse 8, "They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Why did they hide? Notice verse 10, "And Adam said," he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now here we see, Adam is fearful. Never before had fear been an experience in Adam's life. Now, because of sin, they've lost their innocence. Now, they know right and wrong. Now, they experience shame. They try to cover up their shame, their nakedness. They experience fear. They're afraid now, and they're afraid of God. Never before had they been afraid of God. Always before, they'd enjoyed fellowship with God. They'd looked forward to walking with God and communing and fellowshipping with God. But now they're afraid of God. Why? Because of sin. Sin has warped and twisted and distorted them, just as it has the whole human race and affected every one of us. Notice also Adam's words betray his sin. How many times you and I have been guilty of doing wrong, and we ourselves have let our wrongdoing be known by the words we've spoken. And this is what we see in verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? We see Adam and Eve begin to try to hide from God, and man still tries to do it today. He tries to hide from the eternal God, thinking that he can hide from his actions. That's why the Bible says in the book of John chapter 3 that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, and they think they can hide from God. Did you know that most crimes are committed at night? Most evil acts are committed at night because men hate the light. They try to cover up their wicked actions. They try to cover up their wicked deeds. And so they do it in the dark. Thus we read here that we see that Adam and Eve, notice what he says, verse 10, And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He tells the Lord God that he knows he's naked. And notice what God says, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? You see, Adam himself is telling of his sin. And the man said, The woman. Now notice, Adam puts the blame off on someone else. And isn't that something that all of us are guilty of when we're caught in our sin? Aren't we guilty of trying to put the blame off on somebody else for our wrongdoing, for our actions? We try to justify what we've done. We try to say, well, you know, it's not my fault. This happened and that happened and something else. We try to justify our actions. And so Adam says, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Now notice, God not only blames Eve, but he blames God. He said, You gave me this woman, it's your fault, because you gave her to me. Isn't it strange how we can twist things around and get things twisted, and it's because of sin? And we can say a lot of things and try to convince people of a lot of things that are not true because of sin and its effect upon our minds, upon our thinking, and upon our actions. And so Adam says, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And so he blames Eve for the sin that she did. And so the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She blames the serpent, which is true, where the blame belonged, and said, He beguiled me, he deceived me, he fooled me. Until next time. Goodbye.